Listening Library presents Half Lost by Sally Green. Read for you by Carl Prekop.
Wounded, not lost. We should agree on some passwords. Yeah, why? Because one day you're going to go off on one of your trips and get killed. And then one of the hunters with the gift of disguise will pretend to be you, come back here to camp, and kill me. More likely they'll find the camp, kill you, and wait for me to come innocently whistling home. That is also a possibility, though I can't imagine the whistling element. So, what's the password? Not just one word, but a phrase. I say a certain thing, and you answer in the right way. All right, so I say, I'm whistling because I've killed 10 hunters, and you reply, but I'd rather be climbing the Eiger. I was thinking of a question I might really ask. Like what? You've been away a long time. Were you lost? What's my answer? I was wounded, not lost. I don't think I'd ever say that. Still, you want to practice? Make sure you get it right? No. Part 1. Who to Trust. Stones. In the year that my father turned 28, he killed 32 people. Celia used to make me learn facts about Marcus, that's one of them. It was the most he killed in any one year before the war between Soul's Council and the Alliance of Free Witches. I used to think that 32 was a lot. In the year Marcus turned 17, the year of his giving, he killed just 4 people. I'm still only 17. Before the Battle of Beovavadja, the day my father died, the day almost half of the Alliance died, the day now referred to as BB by anyone who dares refer to it at all. Anyway, before that day, I'd killed 23 people. BB was months ago, and now I've passed 50 kills. I've killed 52 people, to be precise. It's important to be precise about these things. I don't include Pilot, she was dying anyway, and Samine isn't in the count. What I did for her was a mercy. The hunters killed Samine, shot her in the back as we fled from the battle. And Marcus? I definitely don't include him in the 52. I didn't kill him. She killed him. Annalise. Her name makes me want to spew. Everything about her makes me want to spew. Her blonde hair, her blue eyes, her golden skin. Everything about her is disgusting. False. She said she loved me, and I said I loved her, but I meant it. I did love her. What a stupid idiot, falling for her. And O'Brien. She said I was her hero, her prince, and like the dumb, thick mug that I am, I wanted to believe her. I did believe her. And now all I want is to kill her, to cut her open and rip screams out of her. But even that isn't enough. That won't come close to it. I'd have to make her know how hard it is to do what I did. I'd have to make her cut off her own hand and eat it, or cut out her own eyes and eat them, and still that'd be easier than what I did. I've killed 52 people, but really all I want is to get my hands on her. I'd be happy with 53. Just one more, and I'll be satisfied. Just her. But I've scoured every inch of the battlefield and the old camp. I've killed all the hunters I've come across, some who were clearing up the mess after the battle, some who I've tracked since, but I've not seen her, not a sign. Days and weeks following every track, every trail, every hint of a footprint, and nothing leads me to her. Nothing! I look up at the sound and listen. It's silent. The noise was me, I think, talking to myself again. Shit. Annalise. She does this to me. Well, fuck her. I lift my head to look around me and shout at the treetops, fuck her! And then quietly to the stones I say, I just want her dead, obliterated. I want her soul to stop existing. I want her gone from this world forever, that's all. Then I'll stop. I pick up a little stone and tell it, or maybe not. Maybe not. Marcus wanted me to kill them all. Maybe I can do that. I think he knew I could, or he wouldn't have said it. I pushed my stones into a small pile. 52 of them. It sounds a lot, 52, but it's nothing really, nothing to how many my father would have me kill. Nothing to how many have died because of Annalise. Over 100 at BB. I've really got to up my game if I'm going to compete with her level of carnage. Because of her, the Alliance is virtually destroyed. Because of her, Marcus is dead. The one person who could have held the Hunters back when they attacked. The one person who could have defeated them. But instead, because of her, because she shot him, the Alliance were almost obliterated. And there's that niggling thought as well that all along she's been a spy for Sol. Sol is her uncle, after all. Gabrielle has never trusted Annalise and always said she could have been the one who told the Hunters where to find Mercury's apartment in Geneva. I never believed that, but maybe he's right. There's a movement in the trees, and Gabrielle appears. He's been collecting firewood. He's heard me shouting, I guess. And now he comes up, pretending as if he was coming back anyways, and drops the wood and stands by my stones. I've not told Gabrielle what the stones are, and he doesn't ask. But I think he knows. I pick one up. It's small, the size of my fingernail. They're only little, but each one is quite individual. One for each person I've killed. I used to know who each stone represented, not names or anything like that. Most of the Hunters are just Hunters, but I used the stones to help me remember incidents and fights and how they died. I've forgotten the individual fights now. They've all blurred into one never-ending pageant of blood, but I've got 52 little stones in my pile. Gabrielle's boots turn 90 degrees and stay still for a second or so before he says, "We need more wood. Are you coming to help?" "In a bit." His boots stay there for a few seconds more, then turn another 45 degrees and stay there for 4, 5, 6, 7 seconds. And then they make their way back into the trees. I get out the white stone from my pocket. It's oval-shaped, pure white, quartz, smooth but not shiny. It's Annalise's stone. I found it by a stream one day when I was searching for her. I thought it was a good sign. I was sure I'd find her trail that day. I didn't, but I will one day. When I kill her, I won't add it to the pile, but I'll throw it away. It'll be gone. Like her. Maybe then the dreams will stop. I doubt it, but you never know. I dream of Annalise a lot. Sometimes the dreams even start sort of nice, but that doesn't last long. Sometimes she shoots my father, and it's exactly like it was at BB. If I'm lucky, I wake up before then. But sometimes it carries on and it's as if I'm living it all again. I wish I'd dream of Gabrielle. Those would be good dreams. I'd dream of us climbing together like we used to. And we'd be friends, like the old days. We're friends now. We'll always be friends, but it's different. We don't talk much. Sometimes he talks about his family or things he did years ago, before all this. Or he talks about climbing, or a book he's read, or, I don't know, stuff he likes. He's good at talking, but I'm crap at listening. The other day he was telling me some story about a climb he did in France. It was high above this river and very beautiful. I'm listening and imagining the woods he walked through to get there. And he describes the ravine and the river, and then I'm not thinking about that at all, but of Annalise being free. And I notice that a part of me says, "Listen to Gabrielle, listen to his story." But another part of me wants to think about Annalise, and it says, while he's talking, Annalise is somewhere out there, free. And my father's dead, and I don't know where his body is, except, of course, some of it is in me because I ate his heart. And that has to be the sickest thing ever. And here I am, this person, this kid, who has eaten his father, and I'm sitting next to Gabrielle, who's talking about a fucking climb and how he waded across the river to get to the start of it. And I'm thinking that I've eaten my own father and held him as he died, and Annalise is wandering around free, and Gabrielle is still talking about climbing, and how can that be normal and okay? And so I say to him as calmly as I can, "Gabrielle, can you shut up about your fucking climb?" I say it really quietly because otherwise I'll scream. And he pauses and then says, "Of course. And do you think you can say a sentence without swearing?" He's teasing, trying to keep it light, and I know he's doing that, but somehow...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?